right, Jamie, this is The Americans, episode 411, Dinner for Seven.
Yes, and neither one of us was right about the seven.
Dinner for Seven is your boy, Stan, sitting on a time bomb.
What time bomb?
Oh, that was a freaking time bomb, man.
Oh, you're talking about him sitting at dinner and being I'm with the FBI.
And Tim knowing with one phrase he could bring this whole house of cards crumbling down.
I expected for Alice to go spill everything because, you know, she's got a big mouth.
Jamie, I had on my second watch of this and plus a reading of an article in between, I have a whole different perspective on this episode.
Oh.
But I also thought that this episode was really the long, dark night of the Stan.
No, it was the long, dark night of the Stan, the Don, the Elizabeth. who else had the young he. It was a long dark night for a lot of people.
I know, but Stan vocalized it. He like when Mike told his story in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Stan told his story. I really like that.
I did too. I really loved it actually.
All right, well, we start out in our recap of The Americans on West Coast Project, Jamie. Gurley. Tim visits and almost apologizes. What do you think he was doing there? What the hell was he doing at the Jennings in that first scene?
Oh, he was apologizing. He actually said sorry.
Didn't really apologize, though.
Okay, so here's what I think. I don't think he really meant it like 100%. I think he's still got that air of, I'm better than you because I'm Father Tim or Priesty Tim or whatever his name is, Pastor Tim. I think he still thinks he's better than everybody else, but that was his funky way of doing his half apology.
All right, Jamie, so here's my division between my first watch and my second watch. Seppenwall, in his article on HitFix, implied that Tim's wife didn't fake the letter, only that the lawyer didn't have it, like that they still had the tape. Okay. Like that this tape is real.
Oh, I think the tape is real. And I was going to ask you, what made you think that the tape was not at the lawyer's office? Because you were saying that last episode. That didn't happen. I watched that episode over again. And the tape... They never said it wasn't at the lawyer's office, and
no,
in fact,
only that Philip said that she didn't mention the tape in the recording. They have a bug in their house, their church, house, and Philip says there's no mention of the tape. That doesn't mean there is no tape, just no mention of it.
Okay, I got you.
So I want to read this little paragraph in Seppenwall's article because this is an important part of this episode to me. So he says, it's fascinating to watch the progression of Elizabeth/Tim relationship over the course of the hour. When he shows up at the house unannounced in the opening scene to talk about, quote, all the things being a parent can mean, end quote, both Jennings adults look baffled by the words and actions of this man whose life has become so entwined in theirs. And when she stops by Tim's office on the way to picking up Paige from choir practice, her confession about how hard things are for her and Philip seems like a sympathy play, much like previous ones she's tried with assets in the past, like the Lonely Sailor from season 2, to get what she needs, which in this case is that pesky tape Alice allegedly gave to her lawyer. And if I counted them, and Elizabeth went by that church 3 times in this episode.
Yes, she did.
Under the guise of like, hey, you know, I like hearing what you have, your opinion is on this. I thought she was actually maybe bending to actually needing his advice a little bit. Like, wow, she's breaking down a little bit and actually taking some of his advice. Mm-hmm. But with this Seppenwall article sank in on me, and then I watched it the second time. I think she's there to prompt him, and we'll go through it scene by scene, and there's clues to this. To prompt him to say, all right, you're right. You're feeling guilty. Here's the tape. Don't worry anymore.
You may be right.
Let's go through it. So we get the credits right after Tim visits the Jennings. We get the credits. And, Jamie, we should do a frame-by-frame breakdown of this credits sequence and discuss it someday.
Okay.
because they have like President Ford. They have some weird stuff that we're probably never going to see in this series. The hockey team, the Russian versus U.S. hockey team. By the way, Jamie, the series got renewed for two more seasons.
What? Seriously?
Got renewed for a 13-episode season next year and then a 10-episode final season in 2018.
That's crazy. Okay, well, that's interesting because last podcast for the Insider, the Slate podcast, they were talking about that, the Jays were, and they were saying that that they needed to know ahead of time, like a year ahead of time or 2 years ahead of time or something, if the coming season was going to be the final season so that they could write it in a way that it would be the final season. So this is great.
It's a long time, though. It's like two more full seasons. Well, one 13, one 10 episodes, but that's a lot of episodes.
Yep.
And they're bringing some stuff in for a landing here. A lot of things seem to be wrapping up to their fruition, to their closing, you know, their closing positions. It's interesting. They have two more full seasons.
Yeah, that is interesting, but it's good. I think it's great. I'm glad there are two because I think we can really get to see like the resolution, some really good resolution to storylines, because I really want to see what happens with Oleg and with Stan, because Stan said that's the last time they're going to see each other, but I don't think that's the case. I think that they will see each other again for sure. And I also want to know the story of what happened with Gad, because there was something to that. Those Russian guys did not want to hurt him. That he died by his own foolishness, trying to get away from them. And they kept saying sorry while he was dying.
Yeah, they're going to make him some sort of a proposition or trade something or make some sort of a mutually beneficial deal, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because it wasn't like a blackmail or a forcing thing. Because when the guys came in, they were like, hey, we're not going to hurt you. We're just here to, you know, whatever.
Well, he Ted Beneke'd himself.
Yeah, he like sure
Bill
did.
Burr, Bill Burr, and
what's his name?
What's the big guy's name?
Yeah, I forgot his name. Oh gosh.
Huel.
Huel.
But he's a real comedian too. Marvell. Yeah. Marvell.
Lavelle Crawford.
Yeah, Lavelle Crawford. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. All right, mm-hmm. Elizabeth goes to see Gabriel. No pardon from the Don plot, Jamie. But there may be pierogies when we had eggs.
Right. Oh, my God. I felt so sorry for him.
Elizabeth,
that was sad.
Elizabeth passes on the pierogies, though.
Yeah, she didn't want his food.
They had a whole plate full of them, too. He's going to scarf those down later.
Yeah, there had to be like 10 of them on there.
All right. Elizabeth watches Young Hee on the sly from a block away. She leaves the house with the kids. And then she goes in and drops the bomb on Dawn. I'm pregnant.
God, that was so awful. That was so awful.
Jamie, this ploy was much more elegant than the blackmail we tried to envision, though.
Yes, it was. I never saw it coming.
Did you like how Don is, he's Ward frickin' Cleaver, wearing his tie at home all the time, and he's so buttoned up.
He is, but I think that lends itself to his characterization. Because he really is a straight-laced guy.
He says abortion is the only way. And Patty says, I don't need your help. I'll take care of it, kind of tearfully, and leaves.
Yeah.
Pretty smart how they're doing this, I think. Pretty mean, but smart.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's horrible. I mean, they're going straight to hell for that one. Elizabeth, but it's effective.
Elizabeth now goes home to the direct paradox. This is directly a paradox of Stan and Philip talking about Gad's death and how Soviets are so evil and how they're animals. Stan's just telling Philip this. Oh, you wouldn't even imagine how bad they are. They'll do anything. They're animals. Poof. Elizabeth pops in the door.
Yes, indeed. You know, I didn't realize that because I was so focused on Philip's face. But you're right, and that was excellent timing. And as we find out at the end of this episode, she kind of is a beast, you know. But yeah, I loved Philip's face. in actually this whole episode. He was great. I mean, like Matthew Reese's acting. That's his name, right?
Yep.
Matthew Reese's acting was so good in this episode. It was so good. Like the faces that he made were amazing. He was just so good. And then his face in that moment was kind of like suspicious, but slightly offended.
No, and like, holy shit, people really think, God, maybe he's right. We are animals doing this crap.
And then later when Stan leaves and he's talking to Elizabeth, I'm telling you, man, like this whole last like half of the season has been replete with characters questioning the side that they're on and the things that they're asked to do. That is a big piece of this thing.
He also is learning about Gad's death. And he knows that he gave a report about Gad visiting Thailand with his wife.
Right.
So that's kind of what they... Stan leaves, Elizabeth hugs Philip. They kind of have a moment's pause, and she says, it's all yours now, and the kids come home. But that's what Philip relates it to Elizabeth. Stan's old boss was murdered. He told me about Thailand, and I put it into my report.
So, yeah, and the way he says that, though, it's so cool, because he's like... holy crap. Like, he's looking at her like, what the hell? Like, he's, you know, when he says that, I put that into my report.
Yeah, like, and those bastards took that info and they murdered him.
Yeah.
Like, they're another part of the Russian team that he has no control over, and they're worse than he ever imagined.
Right. Like, they're not connected.
Like, Stan was right. They are animals.
Yeah. So there's that juxtaposition, right? Because Philip is over here questioning the Russians, and he's like, you know, wait a minute, this is kind of crazy. If they did this, this is crazy. And then you see Stan going to Oleg and doing the same thing, saying, like, they want me to do this, and I'm not going to. This is crazy, and you're never going to see me again.
All right, so let's pick apart Sepinwall's claim here, because go back to the church now, and Tim gets a visit from Elizabeth to pick up Paige. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, is related to this tape. So Elizabeth invites them to dinner with strawberry ice cream.
Alex's favorite.
And then, like, more paradox, Elizabeth, I think, at first thought Tim was using Tim as a pastor to resolve her young he crisis. But I think she's probing around for him to give up this tape. Elizabeth says, Philip and I have been under a lot of pressure. It's really hard. I think it could be a ploy. It's either a ploy by Elizabeth to get him to give up the tape, or it's real and she is under this pressure and she's looking for him to, like, give her some advice. But she relates how Alice's threat made her come apart. Alice's threat really might have made me come apart. And Tim just says, he doesn't bite. He just says, I understand. Mm-hmm. When Tim could have said, I understand, here's the tape, don't worry anymore, here's the resolution. I think this is Sepinwall's point about her getting the tape. I think that's what he's reading into this, and I think he's right.
Well, you know, I never thought about that. I mean, like, it never occurred to me. I thought that Elizabeth was having one of those moments, like that come to Est moment. She was at a come to Jesus moment, because she doesn't have anything to fall back on. It's kind of like the Glanders moment where they, you know, where they thought that they might die. And Elizabeth asked, you know, what do we do in a moment like that? Like, what are we supposed to do? Because we don't believe in anything. And so now when she feels powerless in her life and she cannot get what she's done out of her mind, then she wants someone to tell her what to do, give her some sense of direction. And so I don't know.
That's what I thought at first, exactly what I thought. Like, oh, Elizabeth's going to bend to Tim now and see how he could maybe help her figure some of this out. This Tim is going to be her est. Help her resolve some of these feelings of fear and whatever they are. But I'm convinced now she's sniffing around for this tape.
I think you're right, because later on at the end, of the episode when Paige is asking her, is this forever? And the mother's saying, like, and Elizabeth's saying, like, oh, well, you know, they feel guilty. We can get to it when we get to it. But I think that makes a lot of sense, what you're saying.
Also, Tim bails every single time she tries. She tries three times. They get interrupted by the secretary, so it's kind of an artificial interruption here. But that it stops their conversation.
Yeah, right. You're right.
All right, next, Stan goes to meet Oleg and breaks up with him. Oleg says, you don't look good. And Stan's, the long dark night of the Stan starts. I'm tired. I'm not sleeping a lot. I keep thinking about you. Mm-hmm. You're smart, dude. And there's been a lot of interest in you, blackmailing you, using Nina against you, using your brother. They want me to. And then he kind of drops off his sentence. And then he relates how Amador, how he was killed by your team. He was essentially killed by you guys. And Stan says, I don't know what to do. I've lost my mind. I did something terrible. What did he do, Jamie? I forgot about this.
I was going to ask you what he did. The only thing I can think of is turn Nina, but I think he had already turned Nina at that point. So I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did.
Turn, like, let Nina get dragged back to Russia?
Maybe.
He watched her get taken away. He didn't intervene, and he could have helped her. He could have stopped that from happening.
Yeah, but that wasn't because of Chris Amador. That was because of his ethics. Like, he didn't want to betray his government. So, no, that wasn't it. But maybe that was when he started his affair with Nina.
Yeah, but that's not doing something terrible. I lost my mind. I did something terrible.
Yeah, he broke up his marriage, man.
Yeah, but he said I did something just as bad as you guys killing Amador. That's not an affair.
I don't know. I don't remember what it was. I can't remember Stan killing anyone. I don't know what he's talking about.
Okay. Somebody will know and write to us.
Either that or I'll go back and watch it.
Oleg says, what do you want me to say? And Stan says, Amador, Nina, my old boss, you guys might have done it. My wife left me somewhere in there. I don't want you on my conscience, too. And it's a handshake and goodbye. He cuts ties with Oleg.
Yeah.
And sort of sad, moment, Jamie. Stan can't afford to lose more friends.
I know. Poor guy. But, I mean, he seemed happy, like, later.
He's dopey happy, though. Do you like how he rubbed his hands together when he figured out he was going to stay invited to that dinner?
I loved that. That's the happiest we've ever seen him.
All right, dinner for seven starts. Tim and Alice are over for lamb. And Alice says, she has a private moment with Elizabeth, I didn't ask for this. I don't threaten people. Another kind of a clue here to what's going on. And Elizabeth says, don't worry about it. I might have done the same. Mm-hmm. And then Stan shows up. Stan shows up with Silver Streak. Did you ever see that, Jamie? Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder?
No.
It's kind of dopey, but it's a comedy.
Okay.
Richard Pryor's good in it. And then Henry invites Stan in with an irrefutable invite. It's Stan. He's staying for dinner. He's starving. There's no way they can say, oh, Stan, I'm sorry. We're having kind of a church function. He's officially invited.
That's right.
And then Stan rubs his hands together gleefully and joins the party.
I love that. And, you know, the lightness was there, I think, because he's finally gotten this, you know, this monkey off his back. I guess that's what they say, right? he's let himself, you know, free, set himself free of the weight of everything that was bothering him about this whole thing with Oleg. And, you know, maybe he has let go of some of the sadness that came along with the whole experience with Nina. And so, you know, I think that lightness was there because he's finally a little bit free.
But Jamie, this is nitroglycerin level trouble. I mean, one wrong word and there's huge trouble.
Yeah, but they took it pretty cool.
They named this episode after this event. This was a pretty tense moment. Stan makes his roast in the oven joke in front of Alice.
That was the corniest, stupidest joke.
Kind of gets it. But Stan's the center of attention. He's like, they're talking about his wife. He talks about it. His wife and her boyfriend, they all like, they kind of double take.
That was funny.
And then he's the FBI agent. And that one sits on them like a heavy cloud on everybody, including the Jennings, of course.
Yeah, they're all trying to make it look normal. Paige is like, oh, let me look like I'm eating. Henry's clueless, as usual. And then Tim is like, huh? And Alice is just like looking at the food and the people.
Lots of uncomfortable glances around that table.
Yeah.
But they escape it. It doesn't turn out to be a big deal, except for the fact that Tim has this knowledge now.
Right. Yeah. And he can't wait to talk to Elizabeth about it later.
All right. Patty's family shows up at the Foster Medical Research Group. This is Don's level 4 job that they've been trying to penetrate.
That's right.
And they get into his office pretty easily, Jamie. It's somewhat hard to believe it was all this easy when William couldn't do it for years.
Okay, so, well, no, because this was like a, like a team attack. Like, there were a bunch of them, and it was a scheme. I mean, it was, what do they call that? A sting. Because,
yeah, and I guess it wasn't really the lab. William was probably involved in the laboratory side of it. It's more the management office side. But still, if that's that secure of a facility, they're just going to let 3 people come up and then 2 of them can stay while Don leaves with one of them?
Okay, so let me first say a few things. First thing that I was thinking about for this scene is, like, when Elizabeth went home and she tag-teamed him and was like, it's all on you now, like, or it's your turn, or you can take it from here, or whatever she said. That was surprising to me because I didn't realize that Philip actually figured into the picture at all. And so I was like, oh, man, so, what's going to happen? Because I was expecting blackmail. I was expecting for somebody to be like, dude, we know what you did, so, let us have access to the, disease or something. But it wasn't like that at all. And I thought that when they came in, and this is why he let them in the first place, the look on Philip's face. Philip looked like he was about to go ape shit on this guy. I mean, did you see the look on his face?
What do you mean go ape shit on him? Oh, like the angry brother, I'm going to kick your ass. Like he's a kind of a redneck hillbilly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked insane. His eyes were just so crazy looking.
He was the excellent punk brother. That was a good role.
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic. And he just looked so serious. And the expression was fantastic. And that's why Don let them come back there, because he was afraid that Philip was going to go off and in loud and in front of everybody in that lobby. And he couldn't afford for that to happen because, like, later he tries to shush them. So when they get back in the office, Philip is still looking like he wants to kick Don's ass. And so that's the situation. He's feeling torn because now he feels guilty and shocked and devastated because he's responsible for Patty's death. Right, and then they're saying they want money, and then did you see Gabriel's eyes in that scene? If you didn't notice his eyes when they were in the office, go back and watch it, because he's wearing some Mr. Magoo glasses that make his eyes look gigantic. So when he picks up his head and looks at Don to tell him, you killed my pretty baby. His eyes look so freaking huge. It just makes him look really, really sympathetic.
Well, it's a pretty elegant plot in that it also leaves no loose ends. Like, that blackmail would leave a huge dangling loose end.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, it totally wraps itself up and swallows itself. And if Elizabeth never, or Patty never shows up again, there's no reason to ever think that they were lying. And and Don won't want to tell young he anything about it. He'll keep quiet. It's perfect.
And even if he does tell her, there's literally nothing that young he can do. She can't, like, you know, there's nothing to lead her back. There's no way that she would ever guess. I mean, it's a pretty immaculate story.
So we see the whole plot. So Patty's killed herself. They want him to pay for the funeral in cash. And they even have the receipts from the funeral home. Mm-hmm. I tried to look and see if I could see the amount of money, but I couldn't catch it.
No, I don't think.
And it's Patty's parents and brother. And Patty's parents are Gabriel and Gladys. Gladys from The Leftovers. I don't know her name in this, but Marceline Hugo is. Did you watch The Leftovers, Jamie?
Mm-mm.
It's really good. I really like that show. It's Damon Lindelof, The Leftovers. But she was a pretty important character in that show, the mom. Gladys. So then Philip, of course, the excellent punk brother. I think his name is John.
Yep.
And Don is pressured into letting them stay while they can do their work while Philip and him go to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So they pick locks and copy floppy drives and they get what they can out of Don's office.
Yeah, those giant floppies.
So back at the church now, Elizabeth sees Tim again. This is, I think, second or third. And they joke about Stan as the FBI neighbor, very Hank Schrader-ish, I thought here, that, oh, how ironic that the CIA is right next door to you. And Elizabeth says, you can't choose your neighbors. We didn't choose each other either. And when we first saw Paige get interested in church, we were threatened. We thought we might lose her. And I think this is sniffing around again for this, give up the tape, dude. We were threatened, and we had to deal with that. And then Elizabeth starts to say, I feel, and Tim cuts her off, that you're out on a limb and you handed me a saw. And so here it is again. Exactly. You've got that tape, you fucker. Give me that saw back. And then they share some thoughts about God and how what knowing about God is versus believing in God and religion. But I think they're hinting around about this tape, man.
Now, wait a minute. No. What he said... In that moment, I thought was really bad for Elizabeth, because if she's seeking like some kind of guidance from him, which I think that's a part of it, she may have a plan. It seems as though she has a plan after you explained it, that she really is trying to get that tape. But I think she's really actually confiding in him. I think she really needs some help and some guidance. But she didn't get it from him, because when she said, what if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in religion and you don't even believe in prayer? He says that none of that matters. And she's like, what? None of that matters. And he says, no, all that matters is how we treat each other. And that was the wrong answer for Elizabeth, who has just ruined these people's lives. I mean, she's not treating people very well. And, you know, even at the end of the episode.
I think you jumped ahead. They say that in the third meeting. But yeah, she says something like, how do you know? And he says, I don't know. I believe. I just believe. But I think Tim, when she starts to say how she feels, I feel, and gets interrupted, and he says that you're out on a limb and you just handed me a saw. Like, I can cut you down because I have something that you don't want me to have. That's this tape. That's this knowledge or this info. And I think it's more specifically this tape. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much pointing and hinting at this. I think Sepinwall was really smart to pick up on it because it's not super clear. And I think you're also right that Elizabeth is gathering some comfort from his advice. He is giving her good advice. That you may not know, but you can believe. You can think you can think positively, even if you don't know there's a God. You can believe in something. I don't know. I liked it. I liked because it was nebulous. It wasn't perfectly clear. It wasn't black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't. Maybe I did jump ahead, but I thought it was in that one.
No, it's coming up.
Okay.
They're hitting a nail into the coffin. This takes three giant whacks, so they make a very strong point. I mean, how many times has Elizabeth been to this church in the last year? Ever? Once? And in one day, she's there three times.
Oh, you think that was all in one day? Nuh-uh.
Well, whatever, but okay. two days.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
All right, so back at Don's office now, they leave gracefully. There's no blackmail. There's no evidence left behind. They just leave and it's over. Mm-hmm. Don must feel ashamed and live with it. But if Patty doesn't show up, their story holds. Everything's, all the loose ends are tied up.
All right, so now we know their last name.
Siong? Siong?
Yeah.
You know, maybe the only loose end is, what if Young Hee looks at the bank account and sees $4,500 missing, or
whatever it is.
You think Don's kind of the strong guy where he doesn't let her handle the money? She's a businesswoman, though. She thinks she might have access to seeing the bank account.
Yeah, but right now, if she sees that, she's going to think he's cheating on her because she's so, like, devastated that he's not being right with her.
You bought your lover a coffin, didn't you?
Oh, God.
All right. Adderholt and Stan talk now at the FBI. And here we see the mail robot looking spry and fine as ever. He's fixed.
I loved that. It was so crazy because you're just watching the scene and then it's just like cruising by in the background. It's almost like a photo bomb, but like a video bomb.
Yeah. Expected him to like hold out his hands and smile. Right. So Adderholt says something, that there was a curious part of Martha's case, and Stan says, curious is a curious word. Come on, tell me, big boy, what do you got there? And Adderholt says, well, the door became stuck, and Gad pulled it repeatedly and broke the frickin' robot. And then when it was in for repairs, there was a death at the facility, the death of the owner's mother at the repair facility.
Right, he says Martha covered for him. And then when it was at the facility getting repaired, there was that death. It was a 911 call, and somebody had died, and it was the owner's mother.
Of natural causes.
That's right.
But it's curious.
Yep, it's curious. Now, I wonder how long it's going to take them to examine that mail robot and find the bug, because Martha's not there anymore to remove the bug. So...
Yeah, and it has to be a physical transmitter or recorder or some sort of electronic. It has to be something they can see, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, because Philip planted it.
Yeah, so it's all they got to do is open that thing up. Sorry, robot. Mm-hmm. You might be in for more work at the old factory. But they're on to something here.
Yep.
All right, Elizabeth's at home with Philip. Philip tells her he went for it, meaning, of course, Don fell for it. Elizabeth asks, how is he? And Philip says, scared and upset. We didn't find the codes, but we copied all the disks. Maybe they're there. And Elizabeth asks, will he tell Young Hee? Philip says, I don't think so, but it's hard to really know. And then later... Yeah.
Wait, hold on. In that scene when they're in the mirror and Elizabeth is asking him, I liked her acting too. Like, you know, when he said... that they didn't get the code, it wasn't in his office, she looked really just so disappointed because she was having that Philip Martha moment where he wanted for it to be worth it, what he did to her. And I think she will feel like it wasn't worth it, what she did to him, if they don't get that code.
Right.
You know,
well, she lost her friend. She won't ever see Young Hee again, won't be talking to her.
Right, which would make it for nothing if they don't get the code. That all that happened for nothing. All right, so there's that. But then also, in that scene, when they're talking, Philip kind of looks at himself in the mirror and kind of raises one of his eyebrows. And then when he finishes the conversation, it's almost like he's looking at himself, but he can't stand to look at himself. And then he walks out of the bathroom. And I thought it was great. It was very natural seeming, that scene.
So later, Elizabeth calls and gets another message from the phone room. It's Young Hee, all upset, missing her friend, and she can't even let it finish. She hangs up on the message.
Oh, God, it was so sad. I would have hung up, too, because Young Hee's all like, why can't I find you? Why can't I reach you, Patty? I need you. I need to talk to you. It's Don, and she's so sad. I would have hung up, too.
All right, so now we go to the church, the third interaction at the church. Elizabeth goes to pick up Paige again, and Elizabeth says, if you have something on your mind and can't stop thinking about it, Tim says, I pray for guidance. Elizabeth says, what if you don't believe in God, religion, or prayer? Tim says, none of those things matters. All that matters is how we treat each other. Yeah. And here's how he has the ability to treat her by giving up the tape or making her struggle more with it. So he was either strategic, he either knew what she was doing and that she was kind of hinting, give me the tape, dude, and ignoring it, or there is no tape, or both. There's a tape, he's maintaining control, and he's offering good advice. I think it's the third.
All right, so for the first time this episode, I think that we are beginning to see that there's a little something happening behind the scenes with Pastor Tim. And it was a very sort of almost imperceptible moment, but I thought it was telling. All right, so when Elizabeth was in his office, I think it was the first time that she was there in this episode, when the lady comes in, that brown lady came in, and she's all like, yeah, we need you. And then Elizabeth leaves, but the camera stays in that little office area with Tim and the lady, right? And then he just starts like looking down at some papers, and she's looking with him. But that's the first, that's a weird, if you think about it, it's a weird way to run a scene, because the actual focus of the scene is Elizabeth, right? Like, she's the main character. She's in there, but she exits the scene. The camera stays on Tim and this lady, but for no reason. And so I think, to me, the way that I took that is that there's something there that we actually need to see, or maybe are going to see, that is not being revealed to us yet. Like, he's got something he wants to say. I don't know.
I think they're doing, it's almost like an anti-Occam's razor. Like, Occam's razor is simply, if there's two theories, the simple one is the one you should go with. Right? Your hoof beats in the night, it's a horse, not a zebra. Mm-hmm. I think they have anti-Occam's razor going here, that if there's two theories, the complicated one is the one we should go with on the Americans. So I think Tim knows what she's doing, and he's keeping control by teasing along this idea that I might give you the tape, but I don't think I'm going to give it to you yet. And he's still in pastor mode, where he's offering her this helpful advice that kind of helps her with her struggle. But he's not giving it all up. He's keeping both. And I think that's the most interesting answer, and I think that's the path the American writers would choose.
So you think that Tim is actually more complex than he seems on the surface? Like, yeah. I mean, he's always kind of had that feel. I think that's what gives me and the whole American audience, the creeps about Pastor Tim. Because he's got that kind of slick kind of veneer of, yes, I'm here and I'm a good guy and I'm here to be, you know, the Lord's representative, you know, to you, and, you know, I'm wise and I'll listen and blah, blah, blah. But there is a depth there.
You know? Yeah, that's the only reason he survived so long on the show, because he was just a doofus getting lost in the jungle in Liberia or wherever the hell he was, because he ran out of gas. If he wasn't smart, he's smart. That's what's keeping him alive in this show, because he's complicated. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to be, they don't just knock him off because, all right, he's a liability, he's got to go. They mm-hmm. keep him alive. And it's way more interesting that he's still in this than if they just bumped him off.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, now they're walking home, Paige and Elizabeth, in the night, in the dark of Washington. Now, Jamie, didn't you expect Young He to come stumbling out of some bar drunk?
No.
Across their paths? Patty!
No.
Drowning her sorrows in some speakeasy? Come on. But that doesn't happen. No. They're walking home, and Paige asks, like you said, is this forever? And Elizabeth says, I don't know yet. It's the strategy of pretend forgiveness they talk about. Like, you gotta pretend that you're forgiving. And then Elizabeth says, your father and I will do anything to keep this family together. And Paige asks, what about the tape? I think there has to be a tape, Jamie.
No, I believe there's a tape.
All right, so Elizabeth says, if it helps them knowing it's safe somewhere, in a safe somewhere, it might not be such a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so I got to say, it is bothering me that they are just, there is this unspoken arc that they are teaching Paige that you should lie and manipulate people, and that's the way that you live. Like, that to me, it's just so wrong on the most basic level. And Paige is wholeheartedly against it. And they are revealing themselves to her to be manipulators. Like, that, what Elizabeth said to Paige, like, there in that scene, to me, that's insanity. Like, I can't imagine saying something like that to my child, because what you're saying is, yeah, we got to be fake so that we can take advantage, so that we can do what we have to do to help ourselves.
Yeah, I don't think Paige is wholeheartedly against it. I think Paige is warming to it. Like, oh, okay, I get it. I see. I think she's listening and learning this advice.
Well, okay, so you may be right. But I think she, at least she did hate that. And if she's sort of getting indoctrinated, that's tragic.
We're watching now.
Yep. You're right.
You signed up for it, Jamie.
I know. It's better than making a murderer.
All right, Paige. Ooh, that hurt. All right, Paige relates Stan telling Matthew about Martha being a spy, and then they get accosted. Elizabeth kicks her some bum ass here in this scene. She punches the one dude and reverse knifes the other. Do you notice she never grabs the knife away from the guy? She just holds his hand and stabs, makes him stab himself in the neck.
Yes, she does.
So there's no fingerprints on that knife.
Well, not only no fingerprints, but there's not any defensive wounds. Like, there was no way for him to actually stab her. And that's a self-defense technique. It's like some sort of, like using the opponent's weight and force against them. That's one of those things. And, man, she went to work on that dude. And I don't know if that was necessary. I don't know if she needed to, stab that dude in the neck. And that was quite a thing.
He had a knife on her. What else could she have done?
Stab him in the freaking neck?
Yeah, or stab him in the foot?
Okay. So,
They were going to be in big trouble. I mean, they don't want to get attacked by the two dudes. But they also don't want to stick around and have the police. All right, let's sort this all out. Give me, even though they were right, Elizabeth can't have her name on some police blotter.
You know what's crazy? It just occurred to me right this moment that they couldn't pull out their cell phones and call the police. Because I was about to say to you, why didn't they just call the police? Like, call 911. There was no 911 back then. Cell phones.
And there's no desire to have the police see them. They're going to take a report and take all their names and check their IDs. And
yeah, well, I mean, you can just call 911 and hang up and be like, yeah, I saw this. And then, that's it.
Nah, they're better off just leaving. Those guys are disabled. One guy's dead. There's nothing to stick around for.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Police are going to show up eventually. There's a guy, a bum's body on the ground with a knife in his neck.
Dang.
So, yeah. Jamie, what are the repercussions of Paige seeing her mother do this?
Oh, well, that's the thing, right? Because that's, traumatic. And it flies in the face of what they seemed so shocked that Paige would think last episode, because, they were aghast at the idea that Paige thought that they would disappear Tim. Well, now she's pretty well dispatched with this bum wielding a knife, So I think Paige has gotten her suspicions confirmed.
All right, Jamie, next week, 4:12, dinner for eight. Not just kidding. 4:12 is Roy Rogers in Franconia. Now, Roy Rogers was a real cowboy or a TV cowboy and a restaurant. I wonder if they're talking about a restaurant in a place called Franconia. Or a Roy Rogers-like character in some story named Franconia. I did no research on this title.
Now, didn't they refer to that at some point during the season? I could have sworn someone said something about a Roy Rogers restaurant.
All right, well, now's your time to spill it if you know it.
I don't know it.
You're just speculating?
I'm speculating.
All right, Layton. That's it for 4:11, dinner for 7, Jamie. Any last thoughts before we sign off?
No.
How do people reach you? They want to help us with these many questions with few answers that we had.
I'm on Twitter, and I'm at WordGirly.
And I'm on Twitter at ScathingTweets. So, Jamie, until a dinner at Roy Rogers in Franconia, that's going to be it for 4:11, dinner for 7 on West Coast Project.
All right.